What do you think of Aleister Crowley and his work?
Well, Aleister Crowley, well, for those who don't, who are unfamiliar with Aleister Crowley to some people is the most important magician of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. But to other people, he was the wickedest man on earth. And he was really clever in a wide variety of ways. He was a championship mountain climber. He was the first person to actually climb the second highest mountain in the world, known as K2. He was a high-level chess player. But he was also an egomaniac. He was a misogynist. He was a drug abuser. He did a lot of things that today we would say were nasty. He was brought up in wealth. His father owned an alcohol company. In fact, the liquor is still available. It's called Crowley's Ales. And he had a small fortune from that. And being brought up in the late Victorian period, he had in Britain, he had certain attitudes which today we would consider incredibly regressive, but were quite advanced for his time. So he was a mixture of pomposity and silliness and creativity and magnificence all rolled into one. Would I want to follow him? Boy, I don't think so. There are a lot of things of his that I don't like, but there are a lot of other items from his where I would take and choose some of his ideas and be able to use them in what some people might consider a more positive light.
What would you consider him, evil, Donald, or just strange?
I think he liked people to call himself evil, or to call him evil. The way he got known as the evilest person on earth was the English newspapers were incredibly tabloid, even more so than they are than some of them are today. And one of them called him the evilest man on earth. Why? Because he was bisexual and used drugs. And if that made him the evilest person on earth, then a lot of people in Hollywood and the music industry would also be evil. And he liked to offend people. But at the same time, he was also very spiritual. And I know that seems like a contradiction, but he enjoyed that. He wanted people to see through his contradiction. In fact, one of the things he used to say was, he used the name Master Therion to write some of his books.
Master.
And he said that people would come to him wanting to meet the Master Therion, but he would show them the demon Crowley. And by that, he meant people would come to him wanting certain things, and they wanted him to tell them certain things, but instead he would tell them what they needed to hear. And a lot of times when people hear what they need to hear, they don't like it. So that's what he would do. He was a conundrum, a mixture of good and bad. You want to call him evil and good at the same time, that's fine. But I would like to say he was just a man of his times.
Didn't he came up with a philosophy called, was it Thelema? Is that
yes.
Is that what he called it?
Yes, it's called Thelema, which is an ancient word, a Greek word, which means will. Now, actually, he didn't originate the idea. The first person who said it was, believe it or not, St. Augustine. St. Augustine's idea was, in one of his books, he said, love God and do what you will. And then later on, you have Rabelais in his book, Gargantuan Pantagruel, where there was a city where he said, the only law is do what you will. And later, Crowley took that idea, and his law or tenet, his basic rule, is do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Now, a lot of people misunderstand that because it does not mean do whatever you want. In fact, it means just the opposite of that. When he says will, what he meant by that is find out what your true purpose is in life. And this true purpose is always going to be so spiritual that it's completely in line with God's purpose for you. And therefore, it was your duty to do what you will. That is, find your true purpose in life and do just that, in alignment with God. And he said also that it needs to be tempered with love, because he followed that with love is the law, love under will.
How important did spirituality play a part in your life as you were doing this?
Okay, now I'm going to tell you then a dirty little secret about real magic. A lot of people, especially younger men in their early teens and early 20s, come to magic seeking power over others. They feel disenfranchised. They feel powerless.
Like curses? Curses, that kind of power?
They may want to be able to do that. But what happens, and there are two different types of magic or two different styles, and I'll go into that in a second.
Okay.
What happens is, the more people go into magic, they learn that the real power is not trying to get power over other people, but to become or to gain power over yourself. Because when you gain power over yourself, over the way you think, the way you act, the way you do things, you can do and achieve just about anything you want. Now, I said a moment ago that there are two basic styles of magic. And what happened is, and this goes into the idea of the history, is that many thousands of years ago, the earliest forms of magic have come down to us in what is known as shamanism. And shamanism had certain common characteristics, such as developing an altered state of consciousness, sometimes through meditation or through fasting or through various means, and then going on astral or mystical journeys in order to heal and help other people and yourself. And it would also deal with herbs. And sometimes it would deal with protection from spirits and the idea of cursing and protecting your people by harming others. Now, what happened was this eventually evolved as we moved into the structure of cities, especially in Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
In our culture, what happened was, if you wanted to build a city, you needed to build it on a hill or the side of a hill or a mountain so that the water would drain down out of it.
Exactly.
Now, some people would live in the lowlands. Those would be the farmers and the people who were involved in agriculture. Now, they did not have a lot of time to spend studying magic because they were pretty much working in the fields all the time. So they needed to do things that were simple, quick, easy, straightforward, applied to them directly. And because they lived in the lowlands, we call this low magic. It's not low quality. It's not bad or anything, because they would do it for positive things. Many of the women involved were known as wise women, or they could twist and bend reality to their personal ideas. And an ancient Celtic word for bend was wicca. And that word wicca, meaning to bend or twist, eventually became our modern word